We are very privileged to be joined in the studio now by Mr. Austin Hempstead. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Daniel.
Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks
for
having me.
You were so enthusiastic, you came into the studio about 20 minutes early.
Well, I couldn't possibly be late, Daniel,
yes.
And let you down.
Okay, Austin is here to talk about ICANN, which he is involved with. It's a fantastic charity, which we'll get to the details in a second. But I'd like to sort of start by how we got to know each other, because the last time I saw you, it was at the Copthorne Hotel in Newcastle, on the last Tuesday before Christmas, so we're talking just over a week ago. And you were giving, it was a networking breakfast, you were giving a speech, and I remember you brandishing a can of sardines in your hand. Care to explain why you were doing that?
It's something I'm prone to do when I've got my chairman of the charity hat on, Daniel. The meeting, of course, was Network North, which I should thank Mark Gordon for giving us the opportunity of meeting. And the CAN is basically an idea, a way I've come up with, I believe, to enable the northeast of England and the towns and cities within the northeast of England to about put themselves on the world map. And it's something I'd like to talk a little bit more about later on, specifically with as far as the CAN is concerned. But that's basically what it's about. It's about helping the northeast of England solve a big social problem that we've got, and at the same time making ourselves world famous.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, we'll come on to the exact particulars of ICANN at first. But first of all, I'd like to just to get a bit of an idea about your background. I mean, I don't remember much. You said you've been in the business world for around 20 years, if my memory serves me correctly.
Right, but, yeah, just over 25 years I was running basically my own business. Yes, that's right. I ultimately, the last sort of 10, 15 years of my working career, I had my own business out in Asia.
Right.
Which was a financial services business, which ultimately I sold to my half to my business partner, and was fortunate enough to be able to retire early. And one of the things I always said I would do when I retired was give something back. And my wife was, Janet, was constantly reminding me of that. And so in the end, I decided I should do what I always said I would do and give something back. And
was it her nagging that prompted you to take early retirement?
It wasn't, actually. No, it wasn't, no. But she was one of the reasons I did retire early, to spend more time with her, play some tennis, and ultimately give something back. But Janet was the reason, or the route that took me into charity work, because one day she said she was off to, you know, sort of introductory meeting at some kind of charity in the middle of Newcastle for an hour's session, something she might want to get involved with, do some voluntary work, and she asked me to go along. And I thought I was probably doing something very important around about that time, probably watching a rerun of a football match or something. I said, no, I couldn't possibly, but as wise will do. She said, no, come on, come with me. So in the end, I said I would, but, you know, under no circumstances was I going to be getting involved in that charity. And an hour and a half after we arrived at that charity, I'd committed myself to driving a van an hour a week, collecting and delivering food. So that's how it all got going.
So it was very specifically the food charity area that you got involved with. Was that an intentional thing? Was it specifically that area you wanted to give back to?
No, not necessarily. No, the charity, which is called the Cyrenians, incidentally, big charity in the northeast who do some wonderful, wonderful work in all kinds of areas, happened to be running this food community food program, if you like. And when I came to realise for the first time that there were people in the northeast of England, Daniel, going without food, I just found that immoral. That just didn't seem right to me. And I thought, well, here I am. I've got some time in my hands. Driving a van, picking up and delivering food is something even I can do. So get off your butt, Austin, and go and do something. And that's how I got involved in it.
So how does ICANN follow on from that?
Okay, well, we get food from... Basically, we supply hungry people with food, which is surplus food from the food industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and for various reasons, that the food we get generally has got a short life on it. Whilst it's perfectly edible, it's only got a short life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that can put tremendous strain on our resources. We've got to sometimes get that food into people's mouths, you know, within 48 hours of taking delivery of it.
Yeah,
okay? It could be bread, for example, or pies or pasties, things like that.
Yeah, because you were talking about the example of Greggs giving you their leftovers.
Greggs are a wonderful donor. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely marvellous. And they give us an awful lot of food. But much of it, by definition of what Greggs do, is it's perishable. And, it will become edible reasonably quickly. So we need to move that very quickly. And as I say, indeed, much of the food even we get from other food donors can, for various reasons, have a limited life on it.
Mm-hmm.
That puts strain on our resources. We're an organisation that's made up entirely of volunteers, except one chap who's called Michael Shields. He's the general manager, who does some terrific work for us. And getting that food into people's mouths very quickly, as I say, can be somewhat, it can put a strain on us. And it occurred to me that what we really needed was cans of food. Because a can of food, of course, you can leave it in your kitchen cupboard for, you know, months, perhaps even years, and it's still perfectly edible. And I thought, well, you know, how can I get my hands on a lot of cans? Because the very reason we want the cans are perhaps the same reasons the food manufacturers don't want to give us them, because they can easily store them. If they overproduce, for example, they can just store them. They don't cost anything to store, as it were. If you've got the warehouse space, just put the cans in there. And then it occurred to me, Daniel, that, well, everybody's got a can of food in the kitchen cupboard. Even you will probably have a can of food at home in your kitchen
Absolutely.
Cupboard. Absolutely. And if one disappeared, you probably wouldn't even notice it. Mm. So I thought, well, if 99.9% of the population have got a can of food in their kitchen cupboard that they could give away, as it were, and wouldn't even miss, well, why don't they give them to the organisation that I represent, which is, you know, its full name is the Cyrenians Fair Share North East.
Yeah.
That's given it its full title. And that's kind of got the idea going. And I thought, well, logistically, it's impossible for us to go around everybody's house and collect a can of food off them all, because the cost of doing that would be huge. Mm-hmm. But maybe we could get people to bring the cans to us. And so I came up with the idea of something called iCan. As I put, you know, the modern expressions are iPhones and iPads.
I was going to say, it's nothing to do with apples, no pun intended. No,
but very good. Yes. iCan stands for I Can Help Eliminate Food Poverty. And by giving a can of food, you're doing a marvellous thing. You're giving someone a meal who perhaps otherwise wouldn't eat that day. Mm. That, you know, that's a tremendous thing to be able to have done.
Because the big advantage of that is that, I mean, because people always ask whenever they give money to charity, whether it's a local charity or a national or a multinational one, how much of the money I'm giving is actually going to help the people at the other end, and how much is getting lost in sort of salary and so forth. Whereas this, no money changes hands. You know that 100% of what you give is going to help people.
That's right. That's another big plus of the ICANN concept, because it all goes to the end user.
Yes.
I mean, it works in so many ways. I mean, the cans, it's environmentally friendly, because cans are recyclable.
Yeah.
You know, we can give people their five a day from food that comes.
Yeah.
In cans. You can give, you know, fruit comes in cans, vegetable comes in cans, meat, fish comes in cans. You know, it's so versatile, and it gives variety to people's diets. People, vulnerable people, are otherwise perhaps going hungry. And so the idea kind of grew into, well, why don't people have an I Can Day?
Yeah.
Or an I Can Week? Or an I Can Month, even. And so now we've got organisations that have done and will be in the future organising their own I Can events, where if, for example, Daniel, the company concern might be have a large employee base, 500 employees, maybe over the course of a week, they invite all their employees to bring a can of food.
Yeah.
Just one can of food, that's all it would take. If on the other hand, it's a small employer with only two or three staff, but they perhaps have, you know, many customers coming through the door each week, then perhaps over the course of a week, they would ask their customers or their clients that when they come to visit the business, to bring a can of food. Schools can run an ICANN event. You know, the Newcastle Choral Society run an ICANN event. Your tennis club can run an ICANN event. Your golf club. You know, they're so simple to do.
Yeah.
That anybody can run an ICANN event. All you're asking people to do is bring along a can of food.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the whole of the Northeast, but do you have a central base where you collect the food? I mean, where do you operate from?
Yeah, our base is in Newburn. That's where our depot is. We're housing some premises provided for us by Your Homes Newcastle, which is wonderful of them.
Completely free of charge.
Completely free of charge.
Fantastic.
Yeah, completely free. Earlier this year, we were in fact in danger of going out of business because we couldn't afford the rent on our old depot over in Sunderland.
Right.
Your Homes Newcastle stepped up to the plate, excuse the pun, and provided us with space in one of their warehouses, completely free of charge.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about all the advantages of it in terms of, you know, 100% of what people give is going to help everyone. I suppose there seems to be a perception in charity that people give to charity for something that is out there, even if it's a local cause like the lifeboats or the air ambulances and so forth. It's something that isn't necessarily close to them. Whereas I get the sense with food poverty, there's an enormous amount of sort of pride involved. It's like, you know, I'll give to food poverty, but it wouldn't happen on our street. There's no one on our street going
sure.
hungry.
Yeah.
And how do you get over that perception?
With difficulty. It really is difficult. One of the reasons I'm here today is because that is one of the problems we've got. People just don't realise that within, you know, 10 minutes drive of their postcode, unless they're living out in the middle of nowhere, within 10 minutes drive of their postcode, Daniel, there are people living in food poverty. And until someone like perhaps me gets an opportunity like this, then people are unaware of it.
Yeah, are we defining food poverty in terms of, you know, how many meals people have a day, or is it to do with the nutritional content of that food?
Well, both, really. People going without food, then by definition they could be said to be in food poverty.
Yeah.
And there are many people in that situation, sadly, for all kinds of reasons, ranging from the youngest in our society to the oldest in our society. But at the same time, as you point out, the nutritional value of food is important as well. And the lack of that can mean someone is in food poverty.
Mm.
And again, all these problems can indeed be overcome via the via ICANN and people giving food in the way that I've suggested.
Yeah, but in terms of the pride, because I remember during your little 10-minute spiel week last Tuesday, you were talking about, was it an elderly couple who'd wandered into one of the centres where you were serving the food and
sure.
just, you know, basically didn't want to put it out there that they couldn't feed themselves, and there
yep.
was a lot of pride associated because they'd never had to do that before.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that very common? Do you come across that sort of thing very often?
It's becoming increasingly common, not least because of the situation that the country's in financially.
Mm-hmm.
The rising cost of food is something you know, I don't have to explain to anybody. And so in the case of an elderly people, it's becoming sadly a well-worn phrase, but it doesn't make it any less true. You know, they often have a choice between heating and eating.
Mm.
And so into a charity perhaps that might run a what they refer to sometimes as a drop-in centre where people can just call in for food.
Yeah.
Then we found with one or two of these places that elderly people who've never ventured in before, who have never been seen before, are coming in quietly, having a meal and leaving again. But it isn't just elderly people, Daniel. There are children. There are 71,000 children in our region who are in food poverty.
Good grief.
And again, that's just wrong. And there are all kinds of reasons for that. But whilst it won't be popular to say, it could be, for example, where you've got mum and dad who are sadly alcoholics and who've spent all the money on alcohol, and the children are left without food. During school time, perhaps, they're going to manage to get some food, perhaps run by a breakfast club. Again, we might supply the food for that or a school lunch. But in holiday times, then perhaps there's just not the food at home, and we might have a child appearing in one of the drop-in centres run by one of the many good charities around.
Are we talking sort of primary school age as much as secondary school age?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, okay, it could be any age. And then you've got another charity. We supply food to various charities and various projects. You know, perhaps one which runs and provides accommodation perhaps for people with learning difficulties and have mental problems, as it were.
Yeah.
And again, if they're providing accommodation and feeding these people, well, the cost of feeding these people is going up and becoming increasingly difficult for these charities to meet. And we might supply food for those charities. The challenge, of course, is always having enough food, because, frankly, we don't always have enough food.
Yeah, I mean, you've talked about the drop-in centres. Do you have partnerships with any other charitable organisations who run that, or is that something that the Cyrenians do in an umbrella sort of way, of which you're part of that initiative?
Well, the Cyrenians themselves they run a couple of drop-in centres, and we will supply food to them. But there are other charities also that we supply, so we're not just supplying projects, as we call them, run by the Cyrenians. They could be run by other organisations and other charities.
And how do you decide sort of how much to give to each? Because, I mean, I don't know how much you have in your depot at any one time.
Neither do I, actually. Michael Shields.
How many tons?
We're saving, I think the last figure was that we're saving something about 300 tons of food a year going into landfill.
That is extraordinary.
Which is a huge amount of food, yes.
I'm trying to work out what that works out as a week. and my mental arithmetic's not that good.
And I'm not going to try it. I'll probably get it wrong. But yeah, there's an awful lot of food. An awful lot of food being given to an awful lot of people. But yet we don't have enough. And indeed, we have a waiting list of projects waiting to come on board so we can supply them with food. And as I say, there isn't enough food, and the cans is a way of the northeast of England, the people of the northeast getting together, and by everybody providing just one can of food, not a week, not a month, maybe one can of food a year, then maybe we can get enough food where we can close the gap between what we need and what we've actually got.
Yeah. I mean, because when we posted a sort of trail of this interview on our website, you said that eliminating food poverty in the Northeast, do you want to do it in a year? Considering some of the figures you've been quoting, do you think that's manageable? I mean, it's, you know, of course, no one would say you can't, but just the enormity of the task strikes me that maybe you should try it in two.
Well, I think it's something that once you've done it 1 year, and we haven't done it yet, but once you've done it, I think it can be done over the course of 1 year, and then you've got to do it again the next year, and then again, and then again. And my dream is that in maybe 5 years' time, ICAN becomes the Northeast equivalent of Children in Need, whereby of their own volition, a school, a business, a sports club will suddenly decide, oh, it's March or it's June, we need to do our ICAN week, let's get the cans in off everybody this week. And so, as I say, of their own volition, they run their ICAN event, the cans end up at our warehouse in Newburn. And that just happens automatically. You know, I hope in 5 years' time we're at that point. And maybe I can't be certain, but maybe having everybody in the Northeast give one can of food a year just might close the gap between how much we've got and how much we need. And then we do it again every year.
So there'll be lots of people listening to this interview today. We'll also put it up on our website as a downloadable podcast for people who've sort of tuned in halfway through. What exactly are you asking people for today? Because, we can put the address of your depot up on our website afterwards so people know where to send the cans. And you've already said that logistically it's difficult for you to sort of go around every house in Alnwick, for instance, and knock on everyone's doors. So if people are listening to this day thinking, yeah, I've got a can of something in the back of my cupboard, I'm not going to use it.
Yep.
Where do I send it, or how can I get it to you?
Okay, right. Well, I think Alnwick has a real opportunity. A real opportunity to do something very special. As I understand it, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, I think Alnwick has a population of about 8,000 people.
Yes, more or less.
Right, well, maybe with the help of Lionheart Radio, we can motivate those 8,000 people over the course of a year to give one can of food each. And maybe with the help of Lionheart Radio and the good people of Alnwick and the leader of the Alnwick Council and the Alnwick Chamber of Commerce, maybe we can get a depot somewhere in Alnwick, a warehouse, a garage, a lockup, where people can, one day a month or one day a week, take their can of food, and over the course of the next 12 months, we accumulate 8,000 cans. Or over 6 months, we accumulate 4,000 cans. And whilst, no, we don't want to go around collecting cans because it costs us money to do it, if Alnwick can get together 4,000 cans, or should I say, when Alnwick can get together 4,000 cans, then if you guys can't get it to us, then we'll get a van and we'll come up, if I've got to drive it myself, and we'll pick up the 4,000 cans and drive them back down to Newburn. But Alnwick has, as I say, it really does have a great opportunity. Being a small town, it's 8,000 people. But wow, what a thing to be able to do. If Alnwick could claim that, yeah, we've got 8,000 cans, that represents basically on average a can for every single person in our town. We've done something really, really meaningful for the northeast of England. We've done our bit, and boy, that would be, what a claim. What a claim to be able to make. So Lionheart Radio have got a part to play in that.
Yeah.
Your council have got a part to play in that. You know, the business community have got to play a part in that. The schools, everybody, the churches, everyone can do something about getting a can to that lockup garage or that warehouse, wherever it is. Because you've got one in Alnwick. Somewhere there is one. Somebody's got one somewhere and it's empty.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why don't we use that? Because, you know, without trying to be humorous, I want to say, we can do this. We can get those 8,000 cans together by everyone just giving one can of food.
It's quite overwhelming, to be honest. It's... You can't really say no to that. It sounds fantastic.
It's so simple, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
It is. It's so simple. Yes. That's what's wonderful about it. It is so simple. It's great.
Right. Does ICANN have its own website?
Or it does, yeah. Yes. It's we're going to be incorporating it into our main website, but ICANN currently runs on www.icannfeed.org.
Right.
And our website for the organisation itself, if you will, is www.fairshare, which is F-A-R-E... Share, S-H-A-R-E, fairshare-northeast.org.
So people can go on there and get as much information as
yep.
they need. And
contact information and addresses and, you know, how to book your own ICANN event. You can book your own ICANN event, your own ICANN week or ICANN month through the ICANN website. You don't have to ring us, you don't have to talk to us, but if you need help or advice or whatever.
Is there anything you provide in terms of setting up that ICANN week? I mean, do you have sort of posters and so forth?
Yeah, off the website, off the ICANN feed website, then you can print off your posters, explanatory leaflets. We can, if you need them, we can supply you with crates so you can store the cans. So, yeah, basically everything you need. But if there is something you haven't got or that isn't there, then by all means let us know. I'm not saying we can provide it because we are broke. We don't have any money. But posters, leaflets, yeah, it's there and you just print them off.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for giving us your time today, Austin. It's been a privilege to talk to you. It's just, you know, fantastic to see someone so fired up about something which has the ability to make such a huge difference to the people of the Northeast.
It's such an easy thing to do, Daniel, like I say. And before you, because I can tell you, you're going to close me out then.
No, that's fine. Carry on.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to put out a plea whilst I'm on the radio for if anyone can get in touch with us and let us know who holds the copyright for the song Ernie the Milkman, because I wrote a poem about our general manager and just kind of used that tune, as it were, but we'd need the permission of those with copyright to be able to produce it on a CD or something. A canning company, if anybody knows anybody who is a director of, owner of, connected well with a canning company, and because we think that the canning industry have got a part to play in this, and maybe they can put some money in or sponsor it or something.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for a face, a well-known Northeast personality to be the face of the Cyrenian's Fair Share Northeast. Generally, and ICANN, the ICANN concept. We're looking for, you know, a famous person, a well-known Northeast person who will be proud to be associated with the kind of things that it is that we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, well, like I say, if you have any of that information, feel free to email via lionheartradio.com, or you can text 07961-771073 or call the studio on 01665-602244 and email anytime during the show. If you are hearing this on a podcast and you still want to get in touch, just send an email or a text to those men and we will pass the details on. Thank you very much again, Austin, for coming in. It's been a privilege to meet you again.
Thanks
and yes, I think we can really get this moving.